Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
A couple rows in front of me, it was a mother, father, and two kids. And the father like yelled something at Tuco, like come on, like, you know, wake the fuck up or something. And then his kid like stood up like, you know, 10 seconds later and was like shouting at Rask. And then his dad was like, hey, like, come on. I was like, do you see the example you just fucking set for him? Are you fucking kidding me? How are you getting mad at him for yelling at Tuco after you just fucking
did the same thing?
Exactly.
You know what it is. You clicked on our shit. It's the Bruins and Bruins podcast. My name is Cam Asberg, joined as per usual by Drew Johnson, aka the Doobage of the Schmoobage, as well as great friend of the pod, Jess Belmosto, aka Jealous Bells. We are coming off of a 3-2 overtime victory against the New York Islanders. Taylor Hall showing off his wizardry. He is happy to be a Boston Bruin. We've got a lot to get to. But first, a little bit of housekeeping. I believe Drew has something to say about DraftKings.
DraftKings. This weekend, UFC 262 is sure to be a can't-miss event, unlike the first 261 of them. Every punch, kick, and knockout means so much more with the DraftKings lineup on the line. DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the UFC, is giving you a shot at huge cash prizes for this weekend's fight. DraftKings is offering all customers a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. If you haven't tried it yet, fantasy MMA is easy to play. Just pick six fighters, stay under the salary cap, pile up points, and feel
the sweat. I guess I'm Chris.
Like never before. For advances, takedowns, and more. There's no better way to put your MMA knowledge to the test than to compete for a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Plus, don't forget about basketball and hockey.
Woo!
Do not forget about the hockey.
Has even more money up for grabs throughout the week. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code THPN. For your shot at millions of dollars in total prizes throughout the week. That's promo code THPN to get a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for more details.
Check it out. Hockey, finally, on there. Let's go. No better time to gamble on hockey than the playoffs. I mean,
big fact. Like
I mean, except for your heart health, probably. Probably the worst time to do that.
It's fine.
But Hey, the Bruins and Bruins podcast is also sponsored by diehard Boston sports fans. They have merchandise up for grabs, including a brand new black and gold Till I'm Dead and Cold t-shirt. We have one ourselves.
Yeah, we all share one.
It's not like we all share one. Yeah, I was going to say, that's not a
sisterhood of the traveling shirt.
Yeah, usually Chris takes the head because he's the brains of the operation, and then Drew and I take the arms because we're the bronze. Anyway, it's a nice t-shirt when you have one for yourself. Get yourself one today using the promo code BRUES at diehardbostonsportsfans.com. That's promo code BRUES, B-R-E-W-S, at diehardbostonsportsfans.com. This is the Bruins and Bruins podcast, Day of the Hockey Podcast Network podcast, presented by Bruins Diehard, sponsored by DraftKings and the Diehard Boston Sports Fans website / merchandise
outlet.
All that stuff. We're drinking beer. Are we drinking beer?
Yeah, we are.
Let's pass it around. This is a two-part podcast here. Let's get to the beer here. Drew, what you got?
I don't have beer, but I do have cider.
That works.
That's the so I actually, last episode, if you haven't listened to it, we had Nick Lanciani on. And I had a different cider from the same brewery, Storm Along. This one's from Wallingford, Connecticut, so I'm confused because they are out of Leominster and Shoreborne, but this one's a Wallingford, Connecticut Blue Hills Orchard, established in 1904. So I'll give it a little drink. Just like the last one that I mentioned, that they have a scale on the back for for ciders. Dry, medium sweet, and sweet. This one lands right in the middle on their scale, so we'll see. Could definitely taste that. It's very sweet. I don't agree with their scale because it is very sweet. But so I'll give it about a 32 on that scale. And the taste, I already gave the taste. The drinkability.
I was gonna say, I think it's been covered already.
Drinkability. I'm gonna finish this one before the pod's out. I'll give it a. That's not saying much because we never know how long these are. But I'll definitely drink one of these in the next half hour or so. 28. Andre Kasha. Let's go with that.
Good number. Good.
Excellent. Excellent. Good to have him back. Jess, first of all, we might have some new listeners here since you last joined. You've been doing pretty well the last couple weeks as far as new listeners. So you want to give yourself a little introduction and then tell us what you're drinking tonight?
Yeah. So hi, everyone. I am so glad that you're listening to this podcast. Not for me, but because of the wonderful hosts of this show. It's a great pod, and I'm always happy to be on. I started out blogging about the Bruins and am now somehow a daily Calgary Flames podcaster, but what do the old people on Facebook say about the Bruins? They bleed black and gold. So yeah, that's me. I'm an insufferable Twitter follow, but I think I'm funny. That's what matters.
I can concur with that one. That's it. Yeah. And Jess, what are you drinking tonight?
So tonight I busted out a new, as if these people can like see what I'm drinking. This is a seasonal Sam Adams Beach Sessions IPA. Its notes are crisp and tropical, which made me excited because I prefer that over something super heavy. Let's see.
Makes you feel like warm weather's coming around, you know?
Yeah. Okay. I like this. This is, you know, I will give it a 33. Oh, Chara. And for drinkability, I would probably say 35. Because it's not too heavy.
Just is about to get hammered tonight. Let's go.
I have a final at 10:10 tomorrow morning.
Oh, okay. So I'm the only one that's going to be drunk.
Yes.
All right. All right. I'll chug this and just get more drunk. I'll compensate for both of you. Cam getting his second dose, right, tomorrow?
Yeah. So so I am getting my second dose of vaccine tomorrow. So I'm going to be drinking some water here, some good old-fashioned H2O.
That's smart.
Got to make sure you hydrate. And then also PBR.
I'm so glad. I was so like, oh, okay. Cam's drinking water.
What a good game.
I don't know. I've probably reviewed this so many. We need Lancey here. Call in Lancey. Phone him up. Tell him to break out the old encyclopedia here. PBR, drinkability. 37, obviously. You can hammer these things left and right. Even if you have a vaccine the next morning, that should be the commercial for PBR. It's like, I got vaccine 2 tomorrow morning. I don't want anything crazy, you know? I'm just going to hammer like 16 PBRs instead.
One of my friends got the second shot, and the person administering it to her was like, get drunk so you don't know if it's a hangover or side effects. It was bad.
I don't know if that's the move, but all right.
I don't know if that's doctor recommended.
Approved. Yeah,
recommended. Nope.
But it is Dr. Brusk approved.
Exactly. Yes. Oh, yeah, drink Billy on the PBR 37 tastes. It's like 8. But you know, it works. It certainly
just
works.
Go hand in hand.
Yeah, absolutely. I did reach out to great friend of the pod, Mikey Radigan, famously crushed 12 beers after his vaccine. So we'll see how I'm feeling tomorrow. I might go for the record, try to break 13, but it's going to definitely be an unlucky 13, so I'm probably not going to do that.
I say do it.
I think I'm going to do that, but with water and try to just stay hydrated.
Have some Pedialyte popsicles.
I don't even know what that is, to be honest.
You don't know what Pedialyte is?
Not as far as popsicle form now.
Yeah, you can
buy them before. Never had.
Yeah,
it,
but... you buy them as like freeze pops.
Huh.
They're really good. So I've heard.
I don't know. I've never had it. Sounds like something that would be good, but I'm not gonna let. For some reason, the name freaks me out a little bit.
Okay, that's fair.
I don't know why. There's really no reason for that, but
no.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Cam's just a paranoid human being. That's
yeah, all. That's all right.
Not paranoid enough to avoid the vaccine, though.
That's yeah.
What matters.
Go get your shots, guys, so we can fill up TD Garden for some playoff hockey.
Go get your microchips. Let's go.
Go get your microchips. Yeah. Go get your Biden trackers.
I radiate 5G and excellent Wi-Fi. So, you know,
yeah,
I'm doing great.
Easier. You're riding the T.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Jess and I ride the T from out of state.
Yeah.
Sure. I went to the game tonight and I didn't even take the T.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Did you drive in?
Yeah. Well, my uncle drove us in, which was nice of him. So.
True. How we've kind of gone over this in the past, but for again, maybe for some new listeners, how did feel the garden tonight with the reduced crowd, the COVID stuff? What was that like?
So. Last game I went, it was at 12.5%, but tonight was like the first night, I believe, they did 25. And it was definitely, I could notice there were more people than the last time. I mean, it was fun. It's always fun being at a Bruins game. We had better seats than the last game, too. So it was like a 15th row, loge 11 for all those who like know the layout of the garden. That's where I was at, which was really nice. It was attacking zone, but just outside the blue line. So it was nice to have that kind of like center ice view slash really good view of the offensive attacking zone. Last time I went, you had to order your drinks like online via an app and then go pick them up after, which was to help with like non-contact. Like you don't have to like, you know, give them cash or whatever. But now they have like actual beer stands open, which was really cool. So I could just walk up and order what I wanted, which was great.
Your $25 beer that definitely watered down.
Yeah, it wound up being like $22 for two drinks. And the weird thing is that like we'd get cans, but then they put plastic cups over the can, like because they had to open it. And I don't know if that was like COVID protection, but also like they never do that. They never give you both. They either give you the can or they give you it in a cup. They never do both because they don't want you to throw it on the ice. So my first instinct was, this, like, I'm supposed to throw one of these on the ice, and I don't know which, But if the refs make a bad call, that's what's going to happen. But
it's fine. I mean, like, I know at Gillette, they take the covers off your Gatorades and your water bottles, so you don't chuck them at the refs. Or I only go there really for concerts, but don't chuck them at people.
Yeah, and they just gave us ammunition, but luckily it wasn't needed. And the refs were pretty damn good this game, I'll say.
Yeah.
Sorry, there appears to be either a jet or a helicopter over my.
We don't hear it, but they're coming for Cam.
Nah, it's being near a hospital, but anyway, let's get into a little more Bruin specific stuff here. Look, Taylor Hall tonight was obviously the standout with the first no angle goal that he ripped in from the back door, and then just an absolutely ridiculous undressing and finish to win the game in overtime. Granted, I don't know, you know what I mean? For a game like that, where like you go into overtime, like nothing really matters here. We already got the point. We clinched the spot. You feel like it doesn't matter. Taylor Hall scores a goal like that, and I feel like it matters a little bit. You know what I mean? Just for his confidence and the team's confidence. I mean, so many people were so ready to jump on him, and I think it's such a Boston sports and especially Bruins fans thing to do. I don't know. Maybe it's just this weird corner of Twitter that jumps on their own team. But all of this, he's only got a couple of goals and he's got attitude problems and blah, 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 blah. Like, Taylor Hall was the best player on the ice tonight, up and down. He had two ridiculous goals. He's, I think, stopped a goal on the back check when McAvoy got burned on the blue line in the first period. He just came all the way back and presented the pass. He's playing end-to-end, and he sounds like he loves it here. I mean, I'm not sure how much happier you can be with the trade deadline acquisition after however many games it's been, but oh my god, I mean, it's brilliant watching him in a Bruins uniform. It feels great.
I just also don't know how much happier he could be
I don't being think
out of Buffalo. Especially Buffalo's to go to like a team right like now. The Bruins, who is at the time he got there, obviously not 100% had clinched a spot, but had every intention of doing so, and every indicator said that they would be. And then to perform individually like he has, and you know, that's easier to do with a line mate like Krejci. And I really like that everyone's like, oh, Krejci's playing well. And it's like, oh, you gave him a second line winger for the first time in 10 years. Like, no wonder. No wonder. Like,
right. Krejci's what's the correlation there?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the other thing, too. I mean, you look at like not to cut you off, Jess, sorry, but like depth has been such a problem for this team. And it wasn't top to bottom scoring as far as the third and fourth line. But you look at it wasn't the top line that was dominating tonight. It was David Krejci and Taylor Hall, pretty much accounted for all those goals. I mean, yeah, like Marchand tapped that one in. Who fed it to him? It was Krejci with a beautiful backdoor feed, slipped it through two defensemen. The classic David Krejci play where it looks like he's got no room. He makes one kind of really nifty move, and all of a sudden there's passing lane open. And when he has somebody there that can finish it off instead of insert anyone's name from the last 10 years, no offense, Jake DeBrusk or Nick Ritchie or whoever, Taylor Hall is better, and he's going to make it, or in this case, Brad Marchand tapping it in on that other one. It's going to show off when you give him real people to play with. And it's just, I mean, it's such a, I feel like it's so rewarding as a Bruins fan. And I don't know. I mean, I definitely have kind of the understanding or feeling that this is kind of maybe the last run for this core, and to see them really rejuvenated and have somebody like Taylor Hall to really get David Krejci going and vice versa. Like, it's exciting, and this is definitely the most excited I've been about this team in quite a long time, I'd say.
Definitely. I mean, even like just to even go back to like the first four games against the Islanders, the Bruins didn't win any of them. So to kind of turn it around in that second half and, you know, not get swept by them is nice. But then, like you said, you have Taylor Hall, who I was very apprehensive about getting just because, you know, he has had a lot of injuries. He's been on crappy teams, but I just didn't want it. And then, you know, it went through. We get him for a bag of chips because I thought he was going to cost more than Bjork and a second round. So I like it. I think you're stupid if you don't like it. I don't think you're watching hockey if you don't like it. But there is something really special about that second line and just having that secondary scoring again. It's not something that I think a lot of us are used to.
Yeah, and I think a big part of Hall's success as well has been, you know, on those crappy teams he's been on, he's kind of the top dog there. Whereas mm-hmm. on the Bruins, you got Pasternak and Marchand and as the kind of the top wingers. Like, he's not the first line guy, he's the second line guy, which I think, you know, on a crappy team, he can be that first line guy. On a good team like the Bruins, he's a really good second liner. And obviously, like, if there was an injury to Marshy or Pasta, he could slot in there and be a top line guy. But to have the luxury to have a guy like Taylor Hall on the second line is great, especially when you have someone like fucking David Krejci, the other David on the team. Rip David Backes. But yeah, like, that duo is great. And then you got fucking Smith. You got Craig Smith there, who has all this speed and just really an intense player in the sense that I feel like he's always at 100%. Even though this game didn't matter that much, he was given 100% effort, whether it was back checking, forechecking, had the puck on his stick and trying to find the best scoring opportunity he could. That trio really, like Craig Smith seems kind of like a random guy to have on that line, but it fucking works. When Craig Smith came to the team, I was kind of thinking, like, yeah, they want him to be that second line winger, but he's going to wind up being on the third line. Yeah, it's kind of like a stretch. But now that you got Taylor Hall there, it kind of seems to work there. And as me and Nick said, like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Like, that line's clicking, the first line's clicking. Like, don't do any shakeups, Cassidy. I know you love to fucking mix up the lines mid-game, but please do not. Even if it's not working out in a game, please just leave it. It eventually will.
I feel like half the time he just, like, pulls names out of a hat. Or, I mean, they have iPads behind the bench now, let's be honest. They just probably just go into, like, name randomizer and picks up, okay, these are my lines for the next few shifts. But I really like what we've seen since the trade deadline, and to see Krejci have this burst of energy and all of these points in the second half of the season on, you know, his contract year is really nice. And, you know, a lot of people are saying, oh, like, they aren't going to protect him, they'll expose him in the draft and, like, all this stuff. But it's like, I don't know. For us older Bruins fans, it's just kind of nice to see, like, our childhood star have this nice little resurgence at the potential end of his career.
Yeah, I mean, I think both can be true. I think it's very likely we see a Bruins team next year without David Krejci, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean we should root for him any less. I mean, he's been anchoring that line for 10 years, like you said,
literally
this team. So, like, of most course, you want to see him win on his way out. That would be awesome for several of these guys, potentially, you know? So, you know, I don't know. Always somebody who's going to be slept on, and there's going to be people who are, oh, he's overrated and blah, blah, blah. But
no,
he's got his swagger back right now, and he's proving why he can be one of the most dangerous players on the ice when he's out there. So, at a pretty consistent basis when he's playing like he is right now. So, I think the other thing too, like, obviously, again, like, we'll see what happens with David Krejci, and a lot of questions and what unfolds in the playoffs is going to be important as well. But just going back to Taylor Hall for a second, I don't know. I think he's definitely a very strong consideration to be a part of this team for the next few seasons. And I think he's throwing it all out there right now. I don't think it's very often that you see athletes after 2 weeks of games more than 2 weeks now, but 16 games he's played with the Bruins, and he's already talking about how much he wants to stay here. I mean, that's pretty rarity, especially with somebody like him, who, again, he's had that I don't know, you know, I guess a little bit underwhelming in his career, but obviously he's never had a truly great situation to thrive in. But at the end of the day, he's a very talented hockey player. And the guy that we saw out there tonight is how he is capable of playing on a regular basis, I think. I really do believe that if you put him with good players, as we've seen so far in his time in Boston. And he said after the game today, getting this from Connor Ryan, another good friend of the pod, it's been 16 games and it's probably been some of the most enjoyable hockey I've ever played in my career. I hope there's more to come. That's a very, very strong statement from somebody who's played a few weeks worth of games at a new organization and is in a, going into a contract year. So, I mean, again, for somebody who had these ridiculous narratives that he's a bad teammate or something like that, he is so beyond bought in, and you can see it in what he's saying, and especially on the ice. I mean, he's just... he's moving his feet like he's got the Craig Smith mentality, like Drew is talking about right now. He's just hounding for the puck. And that's that desperate, you know what I mean? Like, I'll take talented players as much as you want. I obviously, you know what I mean? You want players that are good at hockey, but I'll take somebody who is hounding the puck like that.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if they have a talent like Taylor Hall does, you know what I mean? Like Jake DeBrus, for example, is a player who is at his best when he is like that. He is just desperately fighting for the puck. It's the only thing. It's like a dog chasing a fucking tennis ball. It's the only thing he cares about. And that's how Taylor Hall plays. And he's got the speed to do it. And obviously he's a more talented player than Jake DeBrus is. And you put that all together and it's like, you know, in a sense, it's just like you took Jake DeBrusk on the wing at David Krejci and you hit the upgrade button and Taylor Hall is here all of a sudden. And holy shit, this team can potentially do something here.
Definitely. I think this is one of the more confident times that I've been heading into the playoffs. I mean, of course, like when you have, you know, Torrey Krug, you know, on your power play and everything, and Chara, like, of course you're going to feel confident, but you don't have that second line winger that we have been begging management for 10 years now. And now you have it. And it just, something about this playoff run is just, it already feels special.
One of the, like, funniest things I think is that technically Taylor Hall is the highest paid Bruin right now, but the Bruins are only paying half his fucking salary, which means they're paying him just like not even $500,000 more than they're paying Jake DeBrusk right now. Not even $1 million more than they're paying Craig Smith right now, which I think is pretty damn amazing. And a lot of people complain that they're paying David Krejci too much or Tuukka Rask too much. But first of all, to Tuukka Rask, okay, I was at the fucking game tonight.
That's fucking laughable. Paying Tuukka Rask too much.
I was
That's
at the game ass. Tonight, and the funniest thing that I saw was Tuukka. I think it was after the second goal he gave up, which obviously I only saw it from my angle, which seemed like there maybe was some traffic in front. I don't know what all the angles that Nesson or NBCSN or whoever provided on that. But there was like a couple rows in front of me. It was a mother, father, and two kids. And the father like yelled something at Tuukka, like, come on, like, you know, wake the fuck up or something. And then his kid like stood up, like, you know, 10 seconds later and was like shouting at Rask, and then his dad was like, hey, like, come on. I was like, do you see the example you just fucking set for him? Are you fucking kidding me? Or are you getting mad at him for yelling at Tuukka after you just did
the same thing?
Exactly. He, like, the kid yelled like, Tuukka, you suck. And he was like, hey, it's not what I said. I said, you know, like, what the fuck? That's the example you're setting. And that scares me, though. It's like Tuukka haters are going to raise Tuukka haters.
Exactly.
When this number gets retired, it's going to be a sad day for those kids.
It is. I just think that, like, going back to David Krejci, like, being overpaid and, what do you call it? Just, like, underrated. People might forget that he had hip surgery. And it was hurting for a while. And then he had surgery. doesn't fully heal overnight. Just because you're cleared to play hockey does not mean you are healed completely. Like, you're not back to 100%. And then once it did heal, he was kind of good again. We saw the David Krejci that, you know, was 100%. And even 80, 75% Krejci was not horrendous.
Yeah, I think not horrendous is underselling it for sure, too. I think he's definitely a very effective player. But, yeah, I mean, I especially, like Jess mentioned, as, like, you know, longtime Bruins fans especially, like, I think it's so great to just see him, like, again, he's been so good lately, but he's been pretty strong, really, his entire career in Boston. But to see him get one last run here and really have that, like, classic David Krejci, playoff Krejci swagger already. And, you know, you just hope he can carry it into the rest of the postseason. And I don't see a reason that he wouldn't at this point. So hopefully he keeps with it. I do want to talk a little bit about Washington. Obviously, this is going to be the matchup here. First impressions and stuff like that. I mean, personally, I think I'm feeling pretty good about it. I'm not sure that, you know, Washington's goaltending can hang with the way the Bruins offense has been playing lately. I think as long as you get a decent series defensively and, you know, you don't take any really stupid plays, you don't let Tom Wilson do any stupid shit and take you off your game, you know what I mean? Like, you just gotta play smart, disciplined, and try to really work their game. And I think this should be a series the Bruins can definitely walk away with. But I'm interested to see what you guys think, just the initial thoughts about that.
My initial thought is I'm fucking scared just because Tom Wilson is on the ice, and I'm afraid he's gonna fucking hurt somebody. And that's a serious fear. Like, I'm actually really scared he's going to fucking take someone out.
Yeah, no, me too.
No,
100%. The league has shown that they, like, they're not consistent with their response, especially to him. And, you know, in general, they're fucking not consistent at all. But I'm scared about that. Otherwise, yeah, no, I agree, Cam. Like, that. I don't know if their goaltending can keep up. Obviously, they could kind of have a stretch like Bennington had. Was he a rookie that year? Yeah, I think he was a rookie,
technically,
right?
Technically
a rookie.
Sure.
So we'll see how that goes. But I mean, I feel pretty confident. By no means a sweep, because I think, I mean, when Washington and Boston have met in the past, it's really been like almost like this curse. But I really think that was the Holtby curse. And now that Holtby is no longer a part of the Washington Capitals, I do feel confident. Obviously, you got to be afraid of the guys like Kuznetsov and Ovechkin and all that.
Yeah, you're not going to sweep Alexander Ovechkin.
No, there's no way you're going to. But I do feel pretty confident about this round. I feel pretty confident in the Bruins really being the best team in the East, even though obviously they don't finish at the top of the standings that way. But yeah, after the trade deadline, I think there was a big lull for the Bruins before the trade deadline, and they've still been somewhat inconsistent, but they've been a lot more consistent since the trade deadline. I think coming out of that, they are the best team. I think the Islanders pose a bigger threat than the Capitals really do, with the gains the Islanders made at the trade deadline. And having given the Bruins a tough time, as Jess alluded to earlier, you know, they won the first four games of their season matchup against the Bruins. I feel pretty good about Washington, but yeah, Tom Wilson does fucking scare me. I really am afraid that somebody's going to get hurt, but hopefully not. Hopefully the Bruins can respond to anything like that and can kind of just shut Tom Wilson up for a little bit. That'd be really great.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much more I can add to that, really, because you guys pretty much covered it all. But again, Tom Wilson is my biggest concern. And it's not even like, oh, he's like really good at hockey. No, he's just a menace to everybody on the ice, and he's a threat. And I'm pretty sure that Ovi is bumped and bruised a little bit, but will be coming back for the playoffs.
Yeah, so, I heard him and Kuzi are both a little. Oh no, was Kuzi Kuznetsov's on COVID. Yeah. Protocol. Yeah.
I don't know what the difference between the COVID absence list is and the COVID protocol list. Because he was added to the absence list like last week. Maybe they're the same thing. I don't know. Hockey makes no sense. This league is run like a circus.
Upper body virus.
Yeah.
Upper body virus.
Who knows? I'm worried Tom Wilson's gonna like take out somebody's knee and that's gonna suck. I think in general, feeling good about the series, like I said, especially with this revamped Bruins offense, I think it's gonna be hard for Washington to hang around, but I don't know, Bruins in five or six is probably my, you know what I mean? I could shake out either way. Six is probably safer, but
I hope you're right with five.
I would really prefer that.
Yeah.
That would be good for everyone.
I would say it's going six or seven.
I think six is what you're realistically hoping for. I think five would be like, shit, awesome. This team really
great.
Let's see it. I think six is like, okay, yeah, that's what we were hoping for. And seven is like, okay, I'm not surprised, but let's make sure we win this.
My question to both of you is, assuming the playoffs are played, at least in the United States, that you're still traveling, how much does home ice advantage mean? Because, there's the part of it that's like, okay, you're staying at home with your family when you're at home. There's also the crowd to consider, and if, you know, games are continuing to be at 25% capacity, how big of an advantage is the home ice in reality? Is staying at home and being in your regular locker room a huge factor, or the capacity limit taking away from that advantage?
I would say, I don't know, because it's so hard because like they played most of this season without fans. The Bruins anyways, not some of these other teams.
Florida. But,
yeah, Texas. You know? No, your whole team had COVID, but it's fine. We'll allow you back. But I do think that the guys are used to being home. I think that, you know, while they were traveling for the season, it was more of a localized thing rather than, okay, I'm in, you know, DC this week, and then I gotta go all the way across Canada for our season venture there, and you're not bouncing back and forth as much. But I don't know. I think it could, home ice is gonna be a potential issue.
I think I don't know. Like on one hand, it's like, hey, maybe you're not traveling as much, or it's less and closer, but I think there is something to be said about like all traveling at all really during the pandemic, I think. And I don't think your accommodations and everything, I think it's just a little bit more complicated than it would normally be. And I think having home ice maybe will smooth it out a little bit. Whether that turns into any tangible advantage on the ice, I think is probably something else that can be discussed. I mean, you know what I mean? On one hand, it's like these people are all humans, obviously, so all of this stuff does impact them. They're still getting to the rink and doing their thing. You know what I mean? That's all same as you and me, or if we were in the NHL. But then at the same time, it's like they're also professional athletes, so they know how to find their routine and things like that. That's what their job is to show up and put that stuff away and perform at an elite level. So I don't know. I mean, I think it might be a somewhat of an advantage just because, like I said, everything will be a little bit more inconvenient and stuff. And and traveling with all this, even with things, you know, are a bit better now and easier, but still probably not quite as ideal as it is being at home and stuff. So worth playing for, that sort of thing, worth hoping for, worth hopefully maybe throwing the legs or something in it when you're there, but I don't think it's going to be really make or break either.
I think it'll be easier than the bubble because the bubble was mentally taxing.
Yeah, exactly. This is definitely, I think, easier.
Yeah, I think it'll be easier in that sense.
For sure.
I don't have too much else. I don't know if anybody has anything particularly they want to discuss here.
I did just... Oh, go ahead, Jess.
I was going to say Kasha.
Thank you. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. We're on the same page here. Yeah. I want to mention him before we closed out.
Yeah. So I don't know what happened. I mean, well, obviously, like, before the game. He was cleared to play and everything. Said he felt 100%. And for a concussion-prone guy to say that, you know, I'm trusting him here, especially where they took their time with him. And then... I'm pretty sure it was like the third period. He was announced that he wasn't coming back due to an upper body injury.
I didn't see. I mean, I was at the game. I didn't notice that he had left after that. Maybe part of that was because he was playing on the fourth line and it wound up being a close finish. So they're not playing the fourth line as much. And I think that's probably part of the reason they put him on the fourth line for this game, not because they think DeBrusque, Lazar, and Kasha is going to be their fourth line in the playoffs. I think it's going to look a little bit different. But I didn't see that. So that's definitely concerning.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I did not see that either. So that's definitely something to keep a tab on.
Do you have your source?
Yeah, actually, at NHL Bruins. So, yeah.
But I walked into that one, Drew.
Yeah. Oh.
People are upset because it's like, oh, like I told you so. I told you he wasn't gonna be back, and all this. It's like
fuck you. If you're rude, you guy like not play. Like, just I know. Like a shut smidge. The fuck up. Like,
just literally a smidge of compassion. Anything. This dude has like literally traumatic brain injuries, and you're doing like, oh, the I told you so dance for what?
Yeah, I told you he'd get another concussion. Sick, right. Dude.
Like, you're an asshole.
I was like somewhat surprised by the physical game that he was bringing. Like, Kosh is not like is not a physical player by any means. It's not really his style, but you know, in a game that doesn't matter too much, I mean, the Islanders need to win in regulation to have a chance at being that third seed versus the fourth seed. I was surprised by how Kasha was playing physically in terms of just like finishing checks and stuff that you don't really need to in a game like that, you know, like playoffs. Yeah, finish that fucking check for sure. But in a game that doesn't matter so much, like let up a little bit, you know, which was encouraging to see that he felt confident enough that he could do that. But now knowing he actually wound up leaving the game in the third period with an upper body injury, not worth it. Really not worth it, especially if it was because of something like that, because I didn't see him really take any hits.
No,
I did see him throw a couple.
So part of me is wondering, was it just precautionary? Not to be like, not to even, like, you can't even compare these two, but like when Tom Wilson was pulled the other night due to an upper body injury, we know why. Yeah. But we're not idiots. We can piece it together. But was this just a precautionary measure? Because I think he only played like 6 minutes. So were they just kind of like, okay, we'll throw you out there. If you don't feel well, I'll come pick you up at school. Just go to the nurse.
go to the school.
Just make it through your first class. You'll be fine.
That was one of my favorite things in elementary school was going to the school nurse who knew me well and finding a way to get picked up.
I loved it.
Even if it was just my spring allergies, I'd find a way to get home.
I think I need some Benadryl. My eyes are really watery.
They're like, we have Benadryl here. And then I passed out because of the Benadryl. Yep.
They're like, I gotta call my dad, call my mom, call someone.
If you have insomnia, try
do Benadryl.
No, don't. I don't recommend that. No. Please don't press charges. Nope. But
no. For legal reasons, that was a complete joke.
That was a joke. Yeah. If you're listening, you should know this.
You should know that nothing we say is ever real.
None of this is real.
Shadow, some kind of
drug.
What's it called?
Shadow drugs. Drugs are fun. Kids don't do them, though. Good Lord. Adults, feel free.
Chris leaves the podcast.
Warning. I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but it's similar to warning.
Precaution.
Yeah, something like that on the way in. What you're about to see is a complete parody, you know? We cannot endorse this. Blah, blah, blah. Bullshit.
Hey, it's 11-11. Make a wish. What's your wish, everybody? It won't come true.
Tom Wilson's out for the playoffs. Oh. Well, not injury-wise.
It's 11-12 now, so that's the one wish we get.
Yeah, I just don't want him to play. He said, oh, no, I don't want to do this anymore. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, I'm going to retire suddenly as we're entering the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. You guys want to wrap it up? I gotta go sleep so I can get...
You're pre-gaming with a nap.
Yeah, pre-game my shot. Exactly. Yep. Yeah. Let's make that... playoff hockey happen. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Do that playoff hockey.
It's gonna be good. It's gonna be good.
Yeah. The next time we record. Well, I don't know when playoffs start, but the next time we record, we'll be previewing or talking about playoff hockey that has happened. So
that's exciting. Jess, thanks for coming on as always.
Thanks for having me, as always.
Just what are your ads? Where can we find everything?
You can find me on Twitter at Jess Belmosto and on Instagram at Jess Belmosto.
Hell yeah. Do it. Do it up.
Do it.
All right. Until next time. Stay
hydrated.
Hydrated, my friends.
Vigilant. Stay vigilant.
Stay vigilant. All right. Peace out, guys.
Peace.
Bye. Finishing on the David Krejci 46. Let's go.